Blog Talk Radio.
Gray. Okay. Hello, everybody. This is Garden of Enlightenment with Lou Uwalda. Well, we will be reading awesome poetry, front page pics of the wonderful poets that we have in our group. We will be spotlighting them all today. And also, we have open poetry during second hour, which I am looking so forward to because I had so much fun on Friday night with Laurence and Jean and Intimidus Rex. It was just an awesome show and awesome poetry, and it just made me smile. And I want to let you know that Katie Gray Eyes and Frank are my co-hosts on this show. Katie's my right-hand lady. She will be adding the poetry and assigning readers, and I will be doing the comments. We will be doing 3 comments per poem. I will be doing 2 verbal comments on the callers and 1 from the group so that we can get everybody sharing. To let you know a little bit about us, we are the Late Night Poets Group, and you can find us on allpoetry.com. The group is free to join. Also, we want to thank every poet that has donated their poetry from around the world, exceptional poets, to make books that Jean has put out on Amazon.com and Late Night Poet Anthologies. And there's a variety of books there that you can purchase at a very reasonable price, considering how thick the books are. And we invite you to check us out. So since I am not doing the phone lines tonight, and Gray Eye is, he will be bringing everybody on. And I have my trusty pen and paper to keep us all in line. Military brat, what can I say? Hey, Cray.
Hi.
Happy to hear your voice.
Thank you. You too. So we've got Katie online.
Hello.
Hello,
hi,
Miss Katie from Scotland.
Oh, hi, Hen. Hi, Hen. How are you doing?
I am doing fabulous because I'm with my buddies, my poetry buddies. How could you not be happy? Excellent
exactly.
Poetry. I'm so excited for tonight.
Me
and
too.
Thank you all for hanging with me. And, yeah, thank you for, you know, because I've been in the hospital for 2 weeks. I was very ill. And thank you for coming back and spending time with me. I'm very excited. Say hi, Gwen. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I missed you guys.
You too. Good to hear you again.
Good to hear you. Okay, Grace, who's next?
We have Lawrence. Mr.
Hi, Lawrence. Yeah, well, you know it. Hi, Lawrence.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, I'm happy
Hello
to hear
to everybody
your voice
else.
Hi.
Yeah. Nice group today.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited.
Hey, Rose.
And who?
Hey, Katie.
Hi.
Hey, Gray.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hi, Rose.
And who do we have? And who?
Hi,
I Jeff. Think we have somebody from Great Britain.
Nope. That's it as far as I can see.
Oh, no. Maybe he hasn't called. He said he would be right back. So if you can please look for him on and off.
He says back BCW.
Yeah, he said he was doing something. Okay, he says he's back. Do you see him?
No, I don't. Because I'm maxed out
okay.
on viewers, the callers I could see.
I'm going to ask Phil. Okay, Phil, can you please, and I'll write it in the group in case she's not listening. Phil, please pick. Okay. And Katie, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
I certainly will. The first one we have is a haiku by Isaiah Destiny. Destiny is called. And I wonder, Gray, if you would read this for us, please.
Sure, you bet. Here's good. We have February Haiku 2023, XXB11.
Gray, do you have a fan on?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Okay, I don't hear it anymore. Okay, go. I'm sorry.
Okay, so in the beginning of Benignity, Grackle's feather on blue wave, the mismatched cake icing, bamboo's leaf ball on brambleberries, milkweed fur on my right thumb, the guardian walking me homeward, devil's bean needles on our matin-tasked faces, the election, left over the dusty gust, my shadow standing still, moontime rush, taking all the glory, my shadow wind the clouds, XXV11, hawk's feather under clouds and horse feathers, ballet paper clout, premature cock crow, deep in my ocean bedspread, 0 o'clock news, XXV1, black stars up the twilight, tight circle, XXV, missing footballs on brackish footpath, egrets call, home call, I seesaw my thumb hanging on the fence wall, a moonlit shadow, dry bones, footballs over the hoar frost, nestling birds, XX1V. Noontime glooms in cloaks and looming clouds, round mimosa paths. XX111. Evening rustles over a night moon, bat breaches. XX1. Daybreak cackles as plantain eater's fledge mocks. Black kites fumble. Message falling off rock of ages. Mess age. XX1. A gory glory, the flamboyant carcass gloom on grave spire. XX making its way away off the Milky Way, a damsel fly. XV1X, broken cloud bank, my treasures in the heavens falling down. XV111, the morning toasts to evaporation steam, coffee roasts. XV11, the waxing sun, waning moon, egrets cut across moonflower. XV1, eavesdrops on chest, the flower beetle's romance on sunripe mango. Empty street lane, causing crows through market aisles. Alms, bowl clangs, swordfish, the face of Vladimir Putin eastward. Murmuring shadows, milkweed seeds through empty markets, Saras. XV, northeast, west of time to south, grumbles, rumbles on the globe. X1V, we our liturgy, the imam's power resounds, street preachers cry. X111, treat on squeak, treat or squeak, pledge and the hawk's parent, battling lunch. X11, morning glory, the lapping dove coos on.
Great. Did you let her?
Great.
Sorry about that. Okay, I'm back. Okay, I apologize. X1, all that glitters on the bamboo boughs, sponge gourds. X, cinematography in sun-blushed atmosphere, damselflies. 1X, Milky Way, constellation of ant lawn holes on walkway sands. V111, newfound friends, masquerade tree, and I, hot in noon talks. V11, bed of rose, blue roses, murmuring bee rises off, gray bean flower. X1, evening breezes, the dawning sun farewell, passerby whistles. V, fledges flaps, the toddler stumbles up to a hug. 1V, evening prayer, burning incense clouds across moonlight. 111, February clouds under shady sunrise, the crocodile tears. Morning market. 11, miniature rain thudding on banana leaves, doubts, dust doubts. 1, February 1st, the old news in fresh breeze, African warblers. End poem.
You know, and this is such a powerful read, such imagery, my Izzy. So let's get some comments. Katie, I would like to know what you thought of Izzy's poem.
Wonderful. In the AN, it says, 50 haiku for February 2023. Beautifully done. And in descending order, so we're now at the February the 1st. The old news is fresh breeze, Africans warbler. That's lovely. It really is a lovely look at life from your perspective. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was beautifully done. So I particularly liked choreography in sunblush atmosphere, damn selfies. Damn selfies? Well, I don't know whether that damning selfies or that's actually something. So I will have to ask. I would damn flies, of course. Everybody would. But I think it's damsel flies because I'm not reading properly. Beautifully done. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Katie. And Irish Rose, I would like to know what you thought of Izzy's poem. Gwen? Did we lose you? Okay, so she dropped. Thank you, Phil, for letting me know. Laurent, she'll call back. I would like to know what you think.
This is a fascinating collection of haikus, and I'm no expert on haikus, but I would assume that there are different syllable lengths and line lengths that make up the haiku world. Because I know he starts off with one, I think it's 7-7, then falls into the 5-7-5. Some are 5-7-9. I mean, they're all varying lengths, which makes it even more interesting. Such a collection of very interesting images, and I assume from Nigeria. What really caught me were the XV1, which I believe is 16, empty street lane, cows and crows through market aisles, alms bowl clangs, swordfish, the face of Vladimir Putin, eastward, murmuring shadows, milkweed seeds to empty markets of Cirrus. Brilliant accumulation of imagery, exceedingly well done. Bravo.
Wonderful comment, Marant. And I would like to welcome 703 Miriam to our show. Welcome, Miriam. And also we have one of our co-hosts from England, Great Britain, our very own Dark Lord, Arcana Armor. Welcome, both of you. And our third comment is by Bill Borden in the group. Like how he did this in the descending order, as if he was reversing time within the rite. Thank you, Bill. What an excellent comment. So we got our three comments, and we're ready for our next poem.
Yes, and our next one is Ups and Downs by LG. And the rose isn't back.
If I could just stop you 1 minute, I would like to welcome our another host, Dexter, who is starting his new show. So welcome, Dexter.
Oh, I was so bummed out, Lou. You didn't welcome me to the show. No, I'm just kidding. Hello, everybody. Glad I can make it.
Welcome. Please check out his contest. And would you like, just take a few minutes to let us know the title of your show, when is your show, and a little bit about your contest?
Well, I won't take a few minutes, but I'll just say that, new show. We're doing the After Midnight on Friday. So grateful to have Pam helping me. We're just doing some little darker points in history. We're starting with Chernobyl. Next one, we're going to work into circus folk and, unfortunately, the freak show, and then maybe into some mafia. And so we're just working around in some different darker sides of history. And so hopefully you check out our Chernobyl show. We're looking for rights. Thank you.
By the way, I just said back. Good evening, everybody. But I was on mute. So good evening,
Hi,
everybody.
Arcana.
Hi there.
Welcome, welcome. So happy, excited to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Looking forward to it. Go ahead.
I'm looking forward to it too. right, okay. Next we have Ups and Downs by LG. And I have to say, I'm terribly sorry. I don't know whether we have here a lady or a gentleman. Luyu, would you be able to tell me?
I believe it's a female.
Okay, cool.
I believe. So excuse me if I'm wrong.
Excuse us both if we're wrong. I do apologize. Okay. Well, Miriam, would you do us the honor of reading this one for us, please?
Oh, I would love to. I was really wanting to comment on this one. Did somebody read it? My brain.
No, that's okay. She's asking you to do the honor of reading it for us, please.
Oh, I would love to. Ups and Downs. When dewy greens bring upside views and feathered flowers fill the air, aroma's bloom spreads laissez-faire, a girl kicks off her Sunday shoes. The farmer's field is fit to plow for planting crops in morning run. She sinks beside the dogwood's bough, too spent from chasing springtime sun. While crimson tie secures her braid, Her hat lies restless on the grass, an Easter bonnet made in class, with lily basket for parade. As growing gal, she often stews on pipeline scribbled through the sky for country landscapes cures the blues. White clouds curl round and hover high. End poem.
You did such a wonderful read of LT's poem. So let's give her some comments. Our next, did Irish Rose come back? Because I don't want to skip over her. Irish Rose? Okay, so I will wait. So let's go ahead and keep commenting. Arcana, I would love to know what you thought of the poem and the beautiful read Miriam did.
Yeah, it was a wonderful read. And I have to say, I love this pastoral poetry that has been composed here by LG. The imagery that's conveyed throughout it, it's got this gentle sort of relaxing feel to it that puts you in mind of the countryside with the morning sun and the dogwood's bough, and, you know, restless on the grass with lily basket for parade. I just think it's so serene and evocative of being out in nature and enjoying the countryside. And she conveys that beautifully within these lines. So wonderful piece. I really enjoyed listening to that.
Great. It is so wonderful to hear your voice, and I really enjoyed your commenting. Thank you, Arcana. And Miriam, you read the poem. Thank you. Miriam, you read the poem beautifully. I would like to know what you think.
I just love this poem. It could have been written for me. There's just so much in it. It's really well done meter, but the meter never overshadows the musical lyricism. And then she's got really good rhymes in it, and she's got in each stanza, she doesn't stick to the same rhyme scheme. She gives you surprises. She's got A, B, C, A, and then A, B, A, B, and so on. She switches it around so that you don't get stuck in a rut. And I don't mean to insult other people's poetry or even my own poetry, but I just love it. And with all that marvelous technical stuff going on, she has excellent, crisp, unusual imagery, and she's telling a story. It goes beautifully with the picture, but it could really stand perfectly alone. It really brings the scene to the imagination.
Great. Wonderful comment. No, you did right. It's wonderful comment and a wonderful read. And our third commenter will be Dexter.
Yeah, this is a fantastic write. With Dewey Green's brings upside views, you know, ups and downs, the ups and downs of the hills in the background, the ups and downs of life, the ups and downs of farming with living out on the land. I really feel like this is a poem that could be, you could close your eyes and you can picture this view, you know, the way that she wrote this one, all the way down to the crimson tie in her braid. Her hat lay restless on the grass. I mean, she really, really captured this painting and this image very well. And like I said, I think that you could close your eyes and listen to the read and then really get it. So I think that that's really speaking to how well she did as a poet. So very well done, LG.
Thank you. Fantastic comment, everybody. So let's get our next poem in.
Okay, our next one is Pick by Identity Crisis. And I wonder if Laurent would read this for us, please.
right? It's called Take Me Away, Sweet Dandelion. Take with you this flower as you spread your wings in flight. May you forever have the power to keep it close in sight. Planted seeds in the garden so they will flourish in the light. The angels, too, will enjoy their essence of delight. Each flaxen petal shall shine ever so bright, till they evolve again into a fuzzy ball of white. And
that was a beautiful read, Laurent. I really enjoy Identity Crisis's poems. I love her imagery, especially with this picture. You know, it just makes you want to go find the dandelion and blow the seeds. And I loved where she says, take with you this flower as you spread your wings in flight. May you forever have the power to keep it close in sight. Well done, Identity Crisis. And our next poet to comment, Gray Eyes.
You did a wonderful read.
You're on me, Gray.
Nope, I'm back.
Laurent.
So you did a beautiful read on that.
Laurent read it.
Oh, sorry. Laurent, yeah. I'm a poem behind. Yeah, so beautiful read, Laurent. And I enjoyed the poem. You know, it was image filled. It was, you know, engaging throughout, had wonderful cadence, and just a beautiful write, so well done.
Thank you, Gray. Okay, Katie, we're ready for our next one. Okay,
we have Billowing Tides of Change by Sue Beth, and I will take my turn and read this one. Here we go, folks, hold on tight. Lovers meander after an April's rain. One saunters along the beach, rambling for words, Hang Dong face, the other quibbling over the what if. Her toes swig the cold seawater like a muddy crystal ball. Memories collide. Dopamine, no longer a friend to her, induces instead an insomniac dredge. He screwed up, strayed to sacrifice sense. Elucidation finds no relief for him. Strained to bargain for resolve, she is emptied of sanguinity, turning a deaf ear to his plea. Two forms now merge to an etching of vanishing shoreline, footprints hulled into sand. Bellowing tides of change vanished in downpour like a relentless April's rain. End poem.
Oh, it is such a lovely read of Sue Beth's poem. So let's get her some comments. And the next poet to comment, I'm just going to call out her name just in case. Irish Rose, are you back yet? Laurent, what did you think of Sue Beth's poem?
I enjoyed it a great deal. At first stanza, lovers meander after an April's rain. One saunters along the beach, rambling for words, hangdog face, the other quibbling over the what ifs. She immediately sets a mood and gives each character something of a face in terms of where they are emotionally. The emotions in that stanza aren't, you know, that strong, but just the hangdog face and the other quibbling over the what ifs really tell us what's going on. The second stanza, her toes swig the cold seawater like a muddy crystal ball, memories collide. Dopamine no longer a friend to her. Once again, introducing a little bit of the character, letting us know what's going on. And the title, Billowing Tides of Change, rather indicates exactly what's going on in the poem. I'll leave it at that and let somebody else pick up the thread.
Okay, thank you.
Very enjoyable, enjoyable.
I agree. Thank you, Laurent. And Arcane, it is your turn to comment then.
Yeah, I thought there was some fabulous imagery in this. There's an undercurrent of sadness throughout this piece. You've got this image of somebody wandering alone with their hangdog face, feeling down in the mouth, just dipping their feet in this ocean, you know, and sort of like going through memories in their mind of something that's obviously very melancholy. And the second from last stanza, he screwed up, strayed to sacrifice sense. Elucidation finds no relief for him. Strained to bargain for resolve, she's emptied of sanguinity, turning a deaf ear to his plea. But there's obviously going on throughout this, and I think it's beautifully put together and expressed, and a wonderful write. So very well done, Sue Beth. I enjoyed that, and great read there as well.
Wonderful comment. Thank you so much, Dana. And our third commenter is Miriam. What did you think of the poem?
I think I would need to read it several more times. I would like to read it several more times to understand more of what Sue Beth is telling us. It seems like a very complex relationship. Of course, the ocean images are beautiful, but there are memories going on. There are some of what happened. Sounds very fraught, like the dopamine and the dog face. But to my ear, it seems to end on hope. The two forms now merge to an etching. And she does talk about the footprints vanishing in the downpour, but she doesn't tell us really what happens next. So she really leaves it to finish the story. That's the way I read it.
That's fine. And that's what we look. If you notice, everybody is picking up on different comments, imagery, emotions, and feelings. And this is why I love Katie and I are doing this, because this is what we love. And we are ready for our next poem.
And
thank you, Miriam.
Thank you, Miriam.
Sorry.
Okay, next one we have is Smells Like Charity by Jeremy Epp. And I wonder, Dexter, would you read this for us, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Smells Like Charity by Jeremy Effrey. They're on a cold corner, upstage right, shaded by an old growth rose of elms. Shop was set up under an amphitheater, famed as a hash shell and hopscotch pint. Chills were blitzed down, each in hand rolls, cued and tight, astute, cylindrical shoots, capable of carrying a lapful of jam songs, double-dutched inside twinkles of narcotics. Surely some simply pocketed the cash, repurposed the meal side table tip money and plated it on top of Sunday's service offering, praying the use was a leap towards righteousness. True believers strode in stride within the fold lines, thumb licked from the pages of farmers, with the trusted thrust for the raw straw craft that names the sidewalk skip roped to charisma and poem.
Oh, we are so lucky tonight with all you male voices.
I'm so happy. Dexter, you did a fabulous read of Jeremy's poem, and I know you just read it, but it is your turn to comment.
Well, this is a very intriguing write. You know, the shaded old growth rose of elms smells like charity. You know, what I want to think is just this is about the current state of art. You know, you talk about rose and shops and different things that are happening and just the different pieces of this one. simply certainly some people pocketed money, but it's just tip, Sunday service offering. This to me feels as almost as it's an art show, and it smells like charity because we're just walking through and combing without buying. And so I feel like this is the current state of art. There's not much money to be made. Well done.
Agreed. And I'm going to read a comment that Jeremy made to Art Junkie about charity. He says, "You are kind to give my malarkey such effort." Ready? This is about a guy posting up in a public park, rolling dollar bills into straws and handing them out so people can snort coke. How about that for motivated muse? Ha, ha, ha. Thanks for the visit. And so, you know, I really enjoyed his imagery here, and I really can see that, and I'm not going to read it because due to time, that third stanza that Dex wonderfully read, that surely some simply pocket the money, and, you know, this just makes me sick to my stomach. And some of it use it to actually, not everybody who does charity uses it badly, but there is a lot of things that are done horribly. So our next commenter, and let me check the group to see if somebody's made a comment. Let's go ahead. And Katie, you are our third commenter.
Oh, thank you. Well, I love the title, Smells Like Charity. Obviously, that's a bit of a misnomer, I suppose. I can't even say that word, never mind. That first stanza, that kind of, oof. There on the cold corner upstage right, shaded by an old-growth row of elms, shop was set up under an amphitheatre famed as a half-shell in Hopscotch Park. And that second stanza, oh my goodness me, that's a cracker. Bills were blitzed down, each in hand rolls, queued in tight, astute, cynical suits. Oh my goodness. Talk about brazen. Oh, beautifully written, and I really enjoyed it. It was fascinating. But, boy, one's eyes do get opened sometimes. So thank you so much, Jeremy, for sharing that.
Thank you. And we are ready for our next poem.
And our next poem is from the Leona's Bones to Felonious Tones by our own Intimidus Rex. And Arcana, could I ask you to read this for us, please?
Certainly. From Felonious Bones to Felonious Tones by Intimidus Rex. Crung cocks and snorting hogs, skins of thy father and blood-filt amphora, don't you just love the malt of decomp? In early morn's awakening, that copper taint on your tongue, and awful shaven's tinge wafting upon the air of dewy notes afloat. Fine specimen she be, petite, lithe and tight, not an ounce of fat which suits my needs. There'll be flesh to tan, as I picked up the now chilled 5-gallon buckets and strode to the pen amid the raised ruckus which grew in pandemonious tones. That visceral spillage, a breakfast for the boys, omnifare, voiced in festive grunting in that scarlet geisha's selected share, where I donned that vein in harpsichord queries, bled in an old age's tempo. Abon's ritual, wet-edged, stiff, trading in those ebony and ivory bones of felonious monk, tatisome ribs of felonious spunk. Sushi and sashimi, my tapas on the go, legging up to rump roast stew. We've got the best sausages round these parts, spiced, rich, and in our bellies to cry for. We may lose an occasional tourist now and then, but nothing goes to waste here. Bon appetit from your friends at Magnus Longus and Sons Farms. Fine purveyors of fresh products overnight. Extra sharp cheddar and sweet pork sausage. Bacon, and more. Please check our online catalog. End poem.
Oh, Arcana, you did a fabulous read of Entimidus's Rex poem. I really enjoyed hearing you read this. You brought it to life, you know, with your beautiful accent that I admire. And let's get some comments. Our next commenter is Gray Eyes.
Yeah, fantastic read, Arcana. And I really like his style. You know, it's so unique. You can hear his voice as
mm-hmm.
you read through the poem. But, you know, Mangus Longus and Son Farms, fine purveyors of fresh products, overnight extra sharp cheddar and sweet pork sausage, bacon, and more. Please check our online catalog. You know, that's the state of today's affairs where farms are online. So, yeah, beautiful write and excellent read.
Thank you, Greg. And our next commenter is Laurent.
Yes. I had to get off mute because of the frogs. I've said it before that I get a little intimidated by Entimidus Rex's poetry. It's always cleverly written, sometimes humorous. It's always proficient. It always has depth. And he employs a vernacular in some of his poems that are initially a little difficult to comprehend, but as you get into the flow and the rhythm of his poetry, and in this case, it's kind of subtle. The structure is not off-putting, but it's different enough that it gives you a little bit of pause. And really isn't that much punctuation to guide you, but as you read it, you become aware of exactly what this individual who's speaking does. And when you get down to that penultimate stanza, Magnus Longus and Sons Farms, fine purveyors of fresh products overnight, extra sharp cheddar and sweet pork, sausage, bacon, and more. Please check our online catalog. His tongue is so firmly in cheek all the way through this that when you read the line, we may lose an occasional tourist now and then, but nothing goes to waste here. And the way he spells the word waste is very amusing. And he sprinkles things like that all the way through this exceptional piece.
Great. Wonderful comment. And our third commenter is Hope Soul. She says, I love the visual appeal to the stanzas. Thank you, Hope. So we're ready for our next poem, Katie.
And next we have Waiting Isn't a Game by Hope Soul. I nearly lost you there, Hope. I'm so sorry. You scuttled up the page. This one, I wonder if Miriam could read it for us, please.
We'll see.
Thank you.
Waiting isn't a game. Your loose tobacco is still on my bedside dresser, on a brown rectangle tray, dried out leaves shriveled from lack of moisture, alongside a vase of dead roses. Everything mourns your departure. This house feels less than in your absence. I miss you, so I wear your clothes. No longer does lace grace these hips, nor silk lay on this flesh, for your palms are far from the peach orchard. Heavy showers cast you on handheld mangoes. It's been days since I've coated my pucker with red cherries, for your lip stain is far from me. When the moon brings the cold, the stars cast their vodka tonic waters. Celestial bodies drink and weep, pouring gallons of salted rose on the open wounds in the marsh. Lilies of the valley kiss sweet apple crisp that refresh the skin between my breast where you laid and I cradled your crown, sweet scents of beautiful feathered doves. All the night long I seek you in my bed where your ghost greets me with a bouquet of purple ripe grapes, reminding me I've pressed your wine I tango with the shadow of amor, keeping his heart beating, tormented, but holding sugar-coated covenant promise that I'll hide under my tongue until the day you're back home again.
And you know, this poem just made my heart very heavy, and you read it so beautifully in the way that Hope expressed herself. I do the same thing she does. I still kept my grandma's quilted blanket. It used to smell like Vicks. And, you know, she cooked, and every time I drive by where she used to live, it just you know, tears fill my eye. Oh, I didn't want to cry, but it's beautiful, Hope. And Arcana, I would love to know what you think.
It's a very emotive piece that's beautifully written and beautifully expressed. When one writes about loss and bereavement, it's quite a difficult thing to actually put that into words, because it's expressed in different ways by different people. The grieving process affects different people in different ways. And the imagery here of that lost love, you know, it's been days since I've coated my pucker with red cherries, for your lip stain is far from me. You know, that distant kiss that's no longer there. And the actual sense of longing for this person that's no longer by their side. I tango with the shadow of amor. Okay. Keep this heart beating, tormented but holding, sugar-coated covenant promise that I'll hide under my tongue until the day you're back home again. Absolutely wonderful lines, just dripping with emotion throughout, and very, very well done. I thoroughly enjoyed this piece.
Thank you so much, Arcana. Now I got a stuffed up nose. Miriam, you are next to comment. You did a beautiful job in reading this.
Oh, thank you very much. I really did enjoy reading it. It was a little bit of a struggle because I'm used to more capital letters and punctuation, but I hope I did it close to right.
No.
As I said, I really enjoyed reading it. Always enjoy it. Almost enjoy it, a challenge. And as other
so
people
have
said, imagery is very beautiful, and especially enjoyed the ending that all through the poem where she is talking about she or he is talking about missing the lover who is away, you get the sensation of hope that this is not about someone who has died. This is about someone who's going to be coming back.
Thank you so much for your wonderful comment and read. And I'm going to sneak in a fast comment by Bill Borden. Absolutely Lovely Right by Hope. The emotion of that poem, very powerful. The imagery is wonderful. It all flowed so easily and gave you the presence of words. Thank you. So now we're ready for our next poem.
Okay. Can I just mention quickly, I think Hope was actually talking about her love, who is actually still with us, I think, but she'll be able to tell us on the board. So the next
that
one
may be my bad there.
Oh, no, it's not the only one.
That was the way it spoke to me.
You're not the only one. I just read the AN. That's the only reason I know. I'm not that smart.
That's so cheating.
Look, it's the only thing I've got going for me. Don't knock me, please. Sneaky's my name. Okay, this one is Dad's Old Truck by S. Sharp, and this one has a SoundCloud. Oh, an American accent.
Great. Gray Eyes, can you please play Scott's SoundCloud?
Yeah, you bet. I'm getting to it here. Just one second. All right, here we go.
Dad's old truck. I drove those city streets, paved and manicured around potholes. Years stumbling, thinking I was on a roll. Streetlights always green, fast-paced days cruising away from the fences of that old farm. New paint, business suits, banker's hours, big deals and handshakes, corner office, air-conditioned, thinking I was cool. Late-night parties, hobnobbing, chasing the fleeting moon. Then Dad passed, in a trance, driving, telephone poles waved, welcoming me back to childhood, one-stop sign town, slow-paced, happy faces, corn stalks halfway to harvest, Rolling Hills Ranch, Dad's legacy, a cloud of dust chasing me down that old dirt driveway, weather-beaten red barn, shiny new John Deere, Mama standing in the open door. Midsummer overcast sky, welcome sight under rain-filled fading light of day. Dad's old truck, abandoned, tired, immobile, keeping watch or just enjoying the view. Geese overhead fly with white underbellies against purple sky, honking like Dad's old truck, heading home, I'd guess, back to where they came from. I reckon the city life wasn't for them either.
I want to thank Scott for that fantastic poem and memories, and I loved his recording because I love hearing poets read their own poetry, because once I hear your voice, then from thereafter, I continue to hear your voice. So let's get some comments. But before I do that, I want to welcome my other co-host, Frank. Frank! Hey, Frank!
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Welcome to the show, Frank.
Hi, I'll Frank. Try to stay on as much as I can.
Okay.
Hi,
all right.
Frank.
Hello there, everyone.
The Spanish bullfighter, Dexter.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to know what you thought about Scott's poem.
Yeah, this was quite the write about memories, and this one really meant a lot to me. Having been born in the country, and I think of my dad's old pickup truck, and so this one really does. Then Dad passes in a trance, driving, telephone poles waving, welcoming back to my childhood. I would say if Scott hasn't heard, he should listen to Jerry Jeff Walker Pickup Truck. It really shows, and he really captures as well about just the changing almost of the guard of what the pickup truck kind of means. And, you know, the geese flying overhead, honking like old Dad's truck heading home, I guess. You know, he just brings a tear to your eye just thinking about the old times and bringing a change to the garden. So very well done, Scott.
Agreed. Wonderful comment. And Frank, I would like to know what you think.
Well, first of all, I thought the poem was a remarkable read. It was a remarkable write. And I agree with what's been said here. I think memories, you know, these type of memories, they make you just remember so many things. But overall, I thought the poem was just a broad picture of memories. He did a fantastic job of conveying that.
You had a wonderful comment, and so happy to have you call in. And let me see. And we have another written comment because we're doing two verbal, one written by Bill Borden. wonderful trip down memory lane with that Wright. Scott's Wright really portrayed his memory eloquently. And I'm going to sneak in a small comment. You know, we grew up in a time where we would all sit in the back of the Chevys or the back of the Fords and be going down dirt roads to go to the levee or to the lake, and we didn't have seatbelts, you know. But seatbelts are always necessary. Okay, back to you, Katie.
Seatbelts, I love them. Okay, next we have Driving Life Lessons by Dan Ellison. And Laurent, I wonder if you'd like to read this for us, please.
All right. Driving Life Lessons. Son, you're turning 16. You'll be driving before too long. That can be a dangerous thing. Here's some tips to help you along. Take care of this here vehicle. I can only afford the one. Should you ruin or wreck it, your driving could be all done. Your car will last much longer, taking the time for maintenance. But when working on your vehicle, remember to have some patience. Because cars are never toys. They were not made just for fun. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope yours brings much joy. Take care not to hurt anyone. Others won't be as cautious, having habits that are all a mess. Go carefully around if you can. Avoidance is usually best. Conditions might even be so bad they can cause your car to swerve. When catching yourself sideways slipping, lean into those learning curves. For there will be rough patches. Make sure to adjust your pace. The goal is to reach the finish line, not just how fast you can race. Keep your steering straight forward and your eyes on the road ahead. But every now and then, you need to ignore everything I just said. And take some time in reflection. Look back to adjust your course. You can always change lanes later. Don't waste too much time in reverse. Because we've all had road rage days when it was crucial to keep control. Things pop up in our pathways. Don't ignore those obstacles. Smallest of all are potholes. And they're not usually so deep. But smaller damages still add up, and repairs don't always come cheap. To go around, if space allows, or better yet, to fill in yourself. It helps out your fellow drivers, too, and improves general road health. Toll booths will stop and annoy you. They are designed to block our way. Often, they require money and time. But when others paved, we must pay. Some signs will require patience. And you'll have to just wait your turn. Everyone will go on their own. Their signs are not your concern. Other signs call for caution, warn of dangers before it's too late. Learn to trust in your own judgment. It's not always best to hesitate, for we all get lost eventually. Don't be afraid to ask for directions. Next time, it could be you who gives out those course corrections. These roads we find ourselves on rarely run in perfect straight lines. It's fine to take in some scenery and can be worth the extra time, but be mindful of the signs and follow this driving code. Traffic only flows breezy when we honor the rules of the road. Some days will become so familiar you'll swear you're spinning wheels in the ruts. Other trips will be all brand new for you. Both can be hazardous. But you'll never have to worry if you've followed along so far. If you manage to apply these tips, you'll do just fine, my son. Now, go on and start your car. And pull it. There's a vast silence occupying the airwaves as we wait with breath.
That was a great read.
That was a great read.
I loved your inflections and everything. So let's get some comments. Katie, you are number one.
Oh, thank you so much. I've never been number one before.
Well, you're my number one.
Thank you, babe. Oh, this was wonderful. I love this so much. And a brilliant read as well. Thank you so much. And I love this litany to driving to his son, I'm presuming, which is very clever. I mean, I don't drive cars. I'm terrified of cars. I can only drive motorbikes. So I kind of get lost in something like this. I understand the love of cars. Of course I do. But this is just very clever. And I like this. Some days will become so familiar, you'll swear you're spinning wheels in ruts. Other trips will be all brand new to you. Both can be hazardous, but I like it. Wonderfully done. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, and that was a fabulous comment. Katie and Great Eyes, you are next.
Yeah, beautiful read, and I really enjoyed the poem. You know, it speaks to life, and comparing it to driving is a fantastic thing. So I thought it was an excellent write, so excellent job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And our next commenter is going on the list, going back up. And actually, Katie, because I missed you on the last one, it's you already commented on Gray Eyes. So, Laurent, you did a fabulous read. I would love to know what you think.
Well, this is he says it's a long poem. It's not dramatically long. Life lessons as advice for driving a car and taking care of a car really go hand in hand, because you navigate your way through life, you navigate your way through driving, and it becomes part of life. Good advice throughout, good rhyming, actually very natural rhyming, which I enjoyed. It doesn't deviate too far from the norm. It picks up a nice rhythm and keeps going all the way down through. I'm not going to quote anything because I read the whole thing. But that one part, I guess I will quote it. Your car will last much longer, taking the time for maintenance. When working on your vehicle, 11 hours of patience. I am a textbook example of someone who put the key in the car, key in the ignition, turned it on, and drove. And when I had a metallic sound, metal on metal, when I pressed on the brakes, I would think, gee, what is that? I was very young, mind you, but it was steel on steel. I just roared those disc brakes. You got to know what you're doing. Life lessons, road lessons, very humorous, very well written, charming piece.
Agreed. So let's go ahead. And did I do three comments? I got
yes,
when I
you
was
did.
Crying. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Laurent. I know I can always count on your military background to keep me in shape. Okay. We are ready for our third poem, and I love you, Laurent.
All right. Next we have A Tribute to Dying by Blue to You. And Gray, I wonder, could you read this for us, please?
Absolutely. All right, here we go. We have A Tribute to Dying by Blue to You, sorry. Tribute to Dying. This evening, the dead corn stalks whisper, warning me that winter is once again coming around. My spirit feels the green trees die with ghosts of the bent rainbow. They are searching for the life they once understood, spinning in the night winds where they felt so grand, with an audience of ravens perched on haystacks yonder by the old country road. Together they gather to drink the end of the last night's dew. Prophets rise with proclamations of impending doom as they whistle with early October's trumpet. Listen to the songs of winter calling, watching the colors of virgins falling from their ebony thrones. For now they have become vagrants, loitering around. The strong arm of late October has evicted them from their homes, as it delighted in its own power to move things along. Even the clouds praise this approaching war, seeing the innocent laying dead on the earth's welcoming floor. Surrender comes with banners of white being waved everywhere, but they too fall like white, soft feather plumes, falling. Falling into cold heaps of life that now lie wasted in beauty. Prayers seem to have their own gods with lips as cold as a tomb. Nature takes the lives of the weak and the brave, and just as the wind blows all year round, it has a quiet, secret singing. End poem.
What a fabulous poem by Blue to you, and I really enjoyed your reading of her poem, Craig. So let's get some comments. Arcana, I would love to know what you think.
I thought there was some amazing metaphors throughout this piece. The imagery and the way that she's actually worded some of these lines. Take, for example, watching the colours of virgins falling from their ebony thrones. What a line just there. You know, virgins obviously being white and ebony being dark. So we've got this image of the snowflakes spilling from the sky. And then later she also says, but they too fall like white soft feather plumes, falling, falling, falling into cold heaps of life that now lie wasted in beauty. It's so eloquently written. I just think it's a wonderful piece, very, very well written and very well done. Enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Arcana. What a fabulous comment. And Miriam, I would like to know what you think of the poem.
Oh, no.
Miriam? Oh, I think we lost her. Okay, Dexter? I would like to know what you think.
Yeah, this is a great poem about fall, you know, and then October, and cornstalks whisper, warning me that the winter once again is coming around. You know, they kicked the poem off so well in the beginning that it really sets a tonal tone for this entire rite. When she says, prayers seem to have their own gods with lisps as cold as a tomb. When nature takes the lives of the weak and the brave, and the wind blows all year round, it's really kind of referring to, you know, how unmerciful or whatever the word is that winter and that nature is, and that at the end of the season, unless you're built for it, that's time to pass. So very well done.
Thank you so much. And Marion, I don't want to pass you by. Are you still on? Would you like to make a comment?
Yeah, I'm still on. I had a technological issue with my phone.
I'm glad you're still here.
Thank you. I enjoyed this poem very much. It was very well read, and I am admiring the way the poet has taken the first stanza and echoed parts of it and the last, especially the wind, that last line is so beautiful. It has a quiet, secret singing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I am also having technical issues. Gray Eyes, when my headset, I charge it for 5 hours and it's almost dead. I'm not going to be able, I will have to call back and talk on the phone. I won't be able to read the poems, unfortunately. And I would like to welcome Luke J.R. To the radio show. He commented, very expressive, great right. Thank you, Luke. Okay, we're back to you. Miss Katie.
Thank you. I wasn't very sure. Now, we're going on to open poetry now. And the first one we have is The Telling. And it's a collaboration between Eske and Ben Hart. And Arcana, could I ask you to read this, please?
It would be my pleasure.
Thank you.
So, here we have The Telling, which is a collaboration between Eski and Ben Hart. With each and every visit to the river, the stepping stones have moved. Blue-eyed magpies stare down from threadbare trees, their silence never louder than now. Like any audience waiting for the inevitable slip, only applauding those who stay to drown. Blistered feet too hot to walk on, feeling the even flow pull apart aching toes. The riverbank weeps with the willows, furious rapids with little time to listen, fill the stillness with an arrogant roar that echoes in the house of both yesterday and tomorrow, bursting through the bends like raging bulls in Barcelona, breakers beating down beaches like a drum, an army of one running through trenches on both sides of a battle between tides. That no emaciated glaciers or hollowed-out oceans could ever easy like the simplistic symphony, somewhere in the back of a woman, feet broken in a slaver's ballet, blue all the way up to her black swan neck, an insignificant chapter in an infinite book, where we thumb the pages in search of souvenirs, like raindrops on frozen mountain leaves, that snared the rising sun in prescient dreams, blinding ice-capped mountain peaks to infinity's perfect hue, pristine tears shed at the river's birth, baby steps on a restless pilgrimage towards impatient oceans. The same water headed for different destinations, be it the river running whole, or just the drop bestowed upon the unsullied tongue of a doe drinking till drunk. A nexus between worlds, showered in starfall as lightning strikes, and the aching scream of the violin silenced with violence, frozen there between quiet and crescendo, mortality unravels into revolt against infinity. Gathering pace, innocence is lost against the rocks, spiraling in puzzled eddies of confusion, the restless, inescapable pull of gravity, as everything inevitably falls to climb. Kneeling at the river's telling, purging turbidity with outstretched palms, the water seems to know these hands and whispers a return to innocence. No further need for stepping stones, built from carcinogenic memories that remain alive only to oppose and presume to tell the river where it may not go. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. You did such a wonderful read of that, Arcana. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You bring out all the emotions that both Ben and Eski wanted us to feel. So going back to the list, Frank, I would love to know what you think of Ben and Eski's film.
Well, first of all, I have to say it was a fantastic read there, my friend. I thought the poem really displayed so much of emotions. The metaphors were brilliant. I thought the whole notion there has been conveyed there about friends, the two opposites meeting. I thought that was just a wonderful concept there. Overall, I thought the poem had such beauty, and it just let me thinking philosophically what was the gist of the poem. But I took in a little bit of thinking of, I would say, Asian philosophy to this poem here, and it kind of made sense to me there of describing that whole, you know, that encounter there, using nature, using the drop back of nature to describe this. I thought it was a fantastic poem.
Agreed.
wonderful, wonderful comment. I really enjoyed it so much, Frank. And Katie, I would love to know what you think.
Oh, yes, I agree. Absolutely wonderful. Really is. Does anybody else see the shape of the dough, the deer dodo or deer in the rocks? Did you see it? That's beautifully done, very cleverly done. I enjoyed that. And it is a lovely poem. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Wonderful comment. And Gray Eye?
I thought it was a magical collaboration, you know. They really have a unique voice together, you know. It's such beautiful imagery, and you can feel the emotion, and you can feel the emotion when Arcana read it as well, you know, that they wanted to portray. So I thought it was beautifully read and written. So excellent job.
Great. Thank you. Wonderful comic, Gray-Eyed. And in our group, Bill said, my favorite stanza, an insignificant chapter in an infinite book where we thumb the pages in search of souvenirs. Like raindrops on frozen mountain leaves that snarl the waving sun and prescient dream. The metaphors here, amazing. Thank you, Bill. And so we're back to you, Katie.
Okay, and now we have The Lighthouse Keeper by Titus Llewellyn. And this has a sound clip, I believe.
Okay, I will get that.
Thank you, my dear.
No, you bet. All right.
The Lighthouse Keeper. Love, like a log fire, I have kept a light shining. I've warmed to the distance, though the ocean out there, I feel the currents are undermining the mind of this lighthouse keeper's emotion. How shattered rocks have become me, the isle that is, I am that boat down there. It mingles with the backlash of the waves, in single file eludes with a listening power, a plenty shingles, epic journeys, mind you, I can feel it will moan. The wind will come asking, take to task, man. The ghost of love confides will find alone how unhappiness thinks the rocks. This omen, the spirits say, to sigh and wait resorts deeper, inwardly to keep God your lighthouse keeper.
I want to thank Titus for that wonderful SoundCloud and his poetry. He did a word bank. It was seamless. I would not have known. So let's get our first comment. It is our Laurent.
Yeah, the kudos on the selection of the image. That is absolutely awesome. A lighthouse keeper lives a very lonely life, unless, of course, he has his family with him, and not too many families are going to consent to living in an environment like that. So, again, they lead very lonely lives, and there is a faith and a spirit in them tied to the ocean, tied to weather, tied to the distance that his light reaches out, and basically to save lives. So when he says, the wind will come asking, take your task, man, it is a constant reminder of what he does. And the ghost of love confides, will find alone, how unhappiness thinks the rocks is open. The spirits say, to sigh and wait resorts deeper, inwardly to keep God, your lighthouse keeper. Beautiful expression of faith, given his circumstances and what he does. Bravo, Titus.
Wonderful comment, Nora. And Arcana, you are next to comment, our second commenter.
Okay, well, wow. What a fabulous SoundCloud. Titus does a fantastic job of reciting his poetry. And wow, what poetry he writes. I mean, Here we have a really skilled poet at the top of his game. The rhyme scheme is impeccable throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And the metaphors as well, because he's likening this kind of lone, as Laurent has correctly said, this lonely life of a lighthouse keeper, which many people actually experience in life because they live alone. And at the end of the whole piece, he's talking about inwardly to keep God your lighthouse keeper. So it's kind of there's this message underlying the whole piece that there's a divine presence there that will always keep you company, that you can always speak to in when times are difficult and when you're feeling all alone and lost. And I just think it's an absolutely brilliantly written piece. And kudos indeed. Yeah, excellent right there, Titus.
Thank you. And I loved your comments, Laurent and Arkina. And I have a short comment by Luke J.R., very atmospheric SoundCloud with a passionate and beautiful heart-driven write, and our very own Silent Tree. Wow. Beautiful piece with fantastic flow and very heartfelt. Words full of emotion, wonderfully read, and very well done. Well done, Titus. Okay, back to you, Katie.
Right. We have Dirge for Planet Earth by Miriam. And Miriam, would you care to read this for us, please? Has Miriam dropped?
Have I'm I right dropped? Here. Can we?
Oh, hello.
Okay.
Okay, my dear.
I'll be right with you.
No, no hurry. Take your time, my dear. Plenty of time.
Thanks. Search for Planet Earth. Earth. Thistle soil cracks, dry, gray dirt scattered with lifeless pebbles. My salty dribbles drop like melting ice, watering a tiny spot on this arid plain. Green and gold, a trembling shoot sprouts from the sludge. On every side, heaps of smoldering slag and plastic trash smother the dying land. My shoot seems small and tatty. Gray sky sinks all around like a cloak of lead. Towering skyscrapers lose their tops in the toxic clouds. They crumble, rumble, collapse to rubble as tsunami tides submerge their lower levels. Sludge stinks, oozing from every crack. Whales arise from grisly debris. Are we too late? Has greed gobbled up our blooming paradise? I run toward the wretched howls. I don't give up. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. What a fantastic, amazing image, Miriam. And I so deeply enjoyed hearing you read. And I would love to know what Dexter thinks.
This is a fantastic write, and, you know, earth, thistle, soil, cracks, dirt, you know, all of these people that are so anti, you know, the earth's warming and all of these things are just so much so, denying and blatantly not looking at the facts that are happening. Smothering the dying land, gray skies, sinks all the clothes of the leaves, and those toxic skyscrapers in the clouds. You know, it really has been gobbling up our blooming paradise. And are we going to be intelligent enough to try and stop it? Probably not. The tsunami tides and everything will probably rid us, and it'll be hundreds of thousands of years for the earth to recover from us. But this is a fantastic write.
Thank you so much.
Are you on mute? Louie?
No.
No.
Louie,
is that
news?
So did she drop?
She said at a certain point she would have to call back.
All right, cool. Yeah. Well, Gray, would you like to carry on and take her place for until she arrives back?
Okay, I'd just like to comment on Miriam's poem. You know, I really enjoyed it. The title is apropos. You know, this is happening every day all around us. The world is falling into decay and decline, and unfortunately, we're not doing anything to stop it. I don't know that we can stop it at this point. So, you know, hopefully the world will recoup and recover itself, and I believe it will. So, excellent, hard-hitting write, well-read as well. Great job, Miriam.
Thank you.
You bet. And I was just going to read something from the group, but I don't see anything there. Okay, Katie, what do we have next?
Okay.
Well, you want me to, do you want me to comment on there?
Oh, sure, Frank.
Yes, I'll be brief here. First of all, Miriam, I thought you did a wonderful, wonderful job, a great display of creativity, but the message was spot on. I really felt that what you were writing, the conveying of the poem, was something I totally agree with. You know, I think that there's a notion of protecting the planet is something that we should all subscribe to that. It's unfortunate that most likely we will not see the terrible effects of what will befall to the planet, but we are seeing semblance of it. And I thought you did a fantastic job of conveying, you know, what reality is on Earth and what we should do. We should heed to the call of preservation of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought you did a fantastic
Agreed.
Job.
And thank you. I heartily agree with you that we are hearing a lot of doom and gloom about
yes.
the state of our planet. And even if that comes to pass, I think it's very important for us to do what we can to delay it. I mean, even if we can delay it by 5 minutes, all of us working together, that
Agreed.
Would be, it would be something.
Yeah, you know, it pains my native blood to see what's been done to the earth, you know, the awful of my Irish blood. You know, we lived with the earth and with the animals. We didn't tear everything apart. So thank you, Miriam. And Katie, would you like to comment, please? And then add our next poem.
Yes, I thought this was wonderful. Miriam, I agree wholeheartedly. I am somebody who hugs trees. I don't tell many people that. I know I can tell you because you won't tell anybody else, but I kind of love nature.
So you could say that, Weaver.
Yeah, thank you for this. I really enjoyed it. That was hard-hitting but gently done, which is the way it should be. So thank you so much for sharing. And next we have Behind Death's Door by Arcana Amor. And she has a SoundCloud, I think, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he has.
I'll get that.
Thank you.
The only deal with that is you scared me out of them. Thank you.
Here we go.
I sit alone by fall of night, as darkness paints my somber sight. With dreams I dreamt of poor Lenore, who floats forlorn across the floor. Her ghostly face of sallow tone sends shivers upon each weeping bone. For 'tis the one I so adore, who shall share my affections evermore. condemned to exist as spectral mist, beyond a life I can't restore. Now she wanders afar to some distant shore. Her cries echo throughout the globe. Each night I hear their sullen tone. My beloved has left me lost and alone, yet still she knocks upon my door. Piercing the night in beleaguered plight, this sorrowful room becomes a tomb. Midst sobs that wail with sad regale, her laments that claw my heart implore. My conscience denies me to ignore, reminding, thus binding each vow I swore, to e'er remain faithful to my beloved Lenore. I sit to await my ghostly maiden, with sorrowful eyes so tearfully laden. As call of night descends the light, shouting unto this dark furore, gelid ghosts with haunting boasts search the shadows for mournful hosts. From yonder vale they sadly sail, towards my door they glide and pour. Oh, come to me and let me see my departed Lenore from seas of yore, to declare my undying love once more. I can't escape a date with fate that waits to loom among the gloom. As time grows near with dwindling fear to share the arms of my beloved Lenore, the reaper wields his scythe in fields of ripened souls each harvest yields. But she came back to roam the globe, to seek my love she sought before. Denied her dreams, or so it seems, this lovelorn struggle to endure. In smoke that fades, in serenades, behind death's door forevermore.
That was wonderfully penned and written in your SoundCloud. The longing is just, oh my goodness, you just feel it. And I will comment tomorrow after the show because I'm listening. So let's get some comments on this. Your poem, Gray Eyes, you are next to comment.
You know, you're so talented at your SoundClouds. They're so engaging and they're like a theater production. You know, just a beautiful job on the SoundCloud, as well as the write. You have such talent that it just shines through brilliantly in this poem as well. But Behind Death's Door, what an amazing title. And then you go into the I Can't Escape a Dare with Fate That Waits to loom among the gloom. As time grows near with dwindling fear to share the arms in my beloved Lenore. Just a haunting, right? Very well done.
Thank you, Graham.
Thank you, Gray.
That was a wonderful comment. And Miriam, you are next to comment.
Very, very beautifully read. I enjoyed hearing that. And I think most of us think of a ghost as something to be avoided, something fearful. In this poem, the ghost is a presence that is welcomed because it's an expression of the person that we have lost.
Thank you so much, Miriam. And I believe Silent Tree wrote a comment in the group, so let's get the written comment. Can you please read that for me, Frank?
Yeah, hold on. No, I'm going to have to look at, scroll up on some of the written
okay.
on there.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Dexter, can you locate Silent Tree's comment? Because
yeah,
I'd like to include...
I'm not able to locate it.
Okay. How about Laurent?
I can locate it.
Oh, you can do it? Okay,
I'm
okay.
A very impactful right, full of imagery and a haunting reminder of the impact. Oh, no, that's the last one. I can give a comment on this one. I thought that this was a great write about a lover that comes in and out of our lives. I felt like this was one that was a haunting ghost, that this is this person that kind of promises what they can do versus what their actions are showing. And, you know, and they can be very... some horrible people can kind of come in and out of their lives at your knowing. So I did not get the Silent Tree comment in time, so I just decided to give mine. So very well done.
Do you want me to read it after all?
Did you find it, Frank?
Wow. Yes, it says, while the haunting rite, the rhyme and rhythm in this piece is Chef's Kiss. Such wonderful words throughout an amazing sound cloud. Beautifully written and a brilliant write. Well done, Arcana. And I echo that as well.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you, Silent Tree. And I will definitely comment later on everybody's poem. Okay, and so we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie?
All righty. We have Feet Out the Window, Laughing by Laurent Yvonne. And Laurent, could you read this for us, please?
Certainly. Queer-eyed Samuel was not my only friend, just the one I could really talk to. Not that the others wouldn't listen, but heck, blasé seemed to be common attitude towards everything I could get excited about. Not football or baseball or how they filled their jock straps to overflowing. I mean, why even hint at their virility and be proven a liar at Betty? Who has had them all and offers perspectives to any willing ear. Is it because I'm so small in stature, insignificant in their eyes, not a rooster or running stallion? I don't hop on the first hen I see like they all brag about. But Betty knows and tells all. I laugh in my sleep sometimes, waking myself up. Big jocks with small minds who like their fast cars. From my point of view, a bicycle is more effective. I tend to lose keys in bathrooms, loose jacket pocket dropping them in the choir on urine-soaked tiles in the boys' locker room and stool. Disgusting. And I don't want to pick them up, but a paper towel works as protection. Germaphobe? Maybe. But not unreasonable. It's what I get excited about, getting sick and having to suffer. Feeds my germ paranoia. So small you can't see them and they can lay you low. Great Aunt Fieldy, for example, bellowing her basso profundo in church on Sunday, dead on a Tuesday from some unknown thing. So I stay clean, twice a day showers, and I don't sit in strange cars and spots on the seats, like Betty, who never gets sick. I kissed her once. I'm thinking she pitied me and assumed I was a virgin and needed to be shown how. She gave me a French kiss, pawing at my trousers. Dual excitements, one physical, one mental. A great mystery about to be breached. A great sickness about to be launched. So I ran, my pants poked outwards in front, but safe from the germs I knew were waiting. Seems like no one worries about what gets me excited, like they are impervious to the unseen, malignant little bastards floating about, sticking to surfaces I might touch. Gloves suggest themselves. That's ammunition for ridicule. So I keep my hands in my pockets and the elbow doors open, clumsily. And they laugh at me. I stay safe. Slaves to my fears while they race down sidelines to collide bone to bone, spewing spit and blood in great piles of athletic prowess. We all cheer. Going home is a lonely enterprise. Bike has a soft tire in front. Small seat is jarring over bumps. Laughter echoes as their fast cars zip by. Betty has her feet out the window laughing. Something I don't do much of. End poem.
Oh, that was awesome, Laura. You just slap it out there just like it is. I love your poetry. And let's get you some comments. Frank, I would love to know what you think.
You asked me, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, Laurent, but as always, you're always entertaining. You have such a knack for the ability to give us a story, regardless of what it is, even if it's on germs, so be it your narrative, your presentation.
Huh? Oh, for a second there, I thought my phone dropped again. Frank, we can't hear you. Dropped. Oh, no. Okay. So hopefully he'll call back if it's possible. And Katie, I would love to know what you think of Laurent's poem.
I liked it a lot. I liked it. I like the stanza that goes, is it because I'm so small in stature, insignificant in their eyes, not a rooster or rutting stallion? I don't hop on the first hen I see like they all brag about, but Betty knows and tells all. Wonderful. I liked it. I could read on, but I won't, because obviously you know what you said. But I think it's very clever, and I really enjoyed it.
I did.
Yeah.
You know, his storytelling is superb. The imagery, you can see everything. I'm sorry, but I was not into jocks when I was in school. I was into music, artists, and, oh, yes, brains. Okay. I love a poetic brain. So, you know what? You know, that's just the way it is. And I would love to know what you think, Gray Eyes.
You did a fantastic read on that, Lord. Yeah, you did a wonderful read on that, Lord. And, you know, I liked it. You know, it speaks to who you are at your soul and, you know, the world around you offering its perspectives. And, you know, is it because I'm so small in stature, insignificant in their eyes? Not a rooster or a running stallion. I don't hop on the first hen I see, like they all brag about. But Betty knows and tells all. I laugh in my sleep sometimes, waking myself up. Big jocks with small minds who like their fast cars. From my point of view, a bicycle is more effective. Excellent write and fantastic read.
Thank you. This is based on, I just wanted to say this is based on a friend of mine. This is I'm the polar opposite of this. Sorry.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you get a data jock, you got to have one with the brain, because there's just something that, you know, I like conversation and I like poetry and I like history and archaeology and architecture, and I want to know what you think. It's important to me because, like I said before, I will more than happy lick your brain. is there a
Well, hang on, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to write that down.
I'm sorry. You know it's the truth. Is there a comment, because I cannot see, from Silent Tree or Bill or Hope that we can read, because I want to get that third comment in?
No, I don't see anyone. I don't see one at the moment.
Okay.
I played sports, and I'm not all what you think. I'm not at all what
you
think.
That's okay. That's all right. And let's get our third comment, Arcana.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have to say, fantastic read there. Lawrence got such a wonderful voice. You know, I could listen to it forever in a day. It's just excellent for reading poetry. I'm kind of dropped in a bit at the deep end here, because I did have his poem up while he was reading it, and I've lost it in amongst all the pages I've got open. So if you can just give me a moment, I'll try and relocated.
Okay. And Katie, while he's looking,
why don't you go ahead and put
a poem in so that after he comments, we can go to the next poem.
One thing that it did sort of speak to me, which I could relate to, was Lauren was speaking of his germophobia here. And, you know, when he was talking about sort of opening bathroom doors with his elbows and that, you know, this is something that we've all been through in recent, with the recent pandemic, you know, trying to take care not to pick up the germ of this coronavirus. So I can really relate to that. But the tongue-in-cheek humor throughout as well, where he's drawing comparisons with his friend's bravado, and he's sort of like staying down to earth and stepping back from all of that, preferring to remain, you know, safe in his own little world where he doesn't need to brag or boast about his conquests. He's just himself. And this Betty obviously seems to be very popular amongst his friends. So I wonder why. No,
inquiry mine.
It's a brilliantly put together piece, and I really enjoyed it. It's extremely entertaining, and thank you, Lauren. That was wonderful and wonderfully read, I might add.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Arcana. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Okay, the next one we have is Exotic Temptation by our very own Poetic Picasso. So, Ray, could you put that on for us, please?
Okay, I'm going to stop.
Oh, you bet. No problem. All right, here we go. Oh, I'm not seeing it.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Are you sure it's not towards the bottom or towards the top?
Yeah, I've looked, and it's not here.
Oh. Okay. Well, okay. He's with
Frank?
Us, so, he's
yeah.
with us, so would you like to read it for us, please, Frank?
All right. I'll give it a start here.
Thank you.
Por favor.
Darling, I know you want me. Muy caliente. Hush. You shiver as you listen to the erotic tone of my sexy voice. I know I'm not stoked to such a blaze in your deep desires, a nocturnal feast of my naked body to be explored from top to bottom by the urge blossoming from your inner thighs, covered in whipped cream, and the sexual silhouette of a flowing fantasy aroused. My fresh flesh is the raw hunger you crave for with a powerful passion. Your long lips beg for the succulence of my Spanish kiss, and the delectable flavor of chocolate and rum fits your mouth. Let me be the wet drops of the moisture of your dripping bream, a lingering last ignited by the fuego of my combustion, a rapture embracing you with the motion of my orgasmic oscillation. I'm the hummingbird drinking from the nectar of your hibiscus with his tongue. Can you feel my elongated beak? I'm your exhibition, fascination, sensation, excitation, culmination, satisfaction. Soy tu seducción, tu tentación, exotica. I'm your seduction, your exotic temptation. Once you go Latin, you forget the Saturn. Oh, le. Oh, le. In the boom.
I have got to say, your life reading is better than your SoundCloud. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, no.
But, oh, my goodness.
I wasn't even prepared.
Rico.
I had a
muy caliente. Uy. Okay, so let me get my brain cells to function and see who's got a comment next. And on the list, our next commenter is Miriam.
She dropped.
Okay, that's fine. Oh, and wow. How about you, Laurent? I would love to know what you think.
I'm thinking that Frank should have chosen a different bird than a hummingbird. They're so small. So when you say, can you feel my elongated beak? What are we talking about here? The poor bird is only, you know, a couple of inches long now.
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm sorry. Women
and birds do wonderful things with the tips of their tongue.
I know. Allow me to just play with Frank's emotions here. Sometimes it's the best pleasure there is. No.
The hibiscus there, Laurent.
I know.
That's the motivation there. That's the motivation there.
I understand that. I understand. But an eagle. No, okay. I'm your exhibition, fascination, sensation, excitation, culmination, satisfaction. I like the way you list that in order. The entire piece is warm enough to cause my phone to spike in heat and send me a warning. I'm going to have to get a better phone, or you're going to have to tone down the poetry. One of the two. I know how much I stoke the sensual blaze of your deep desires. A nocturnal feast of my naked body to be explored from top to bottom. Wow.
Mm.
I don't know. You, it's within the genre. You do a lot of these in this genre, yet you don't seem to repeat yourself. And, you know, there's only so much you can do with metaphors for sex. Yet you seem to find different ones each and every time. It's amazing. Right.
If you scroll down, you see what this poem was, what it says on the AP there. Would somebody could read it for me there?
I'm looking. Scroll down. The art of seduction. I want to be seduced.
Yeah.
I feel my
dedicated.
Dedicated
to
the ladies of
late night. Yeah, there you go.
Well, no, I'm sorry. You can't have them all to yourself, damn it.
No.
Dex has got something to say about that. I got something to say about that. Arcane has something to say about that.
Yeah, it's amazing how quiet the group gets after it's real. You all notice that? There's no blood flowing in our brains. Okay. Well, because I love Katie so much, I'm going to throw her under the bus, and you give me what you thought, Miss Katie.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I think I missed it.
No, you did not. I heard you breathing.
It's my asthma. But I'm not breathing heavily. It's my asthma. Wow. And I will say that again. Wow. I agree with Lou. Your live reading voice is fabulous. I really enjoy it.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for that.
Not at all. But I did love I'm the sexual silhouette of a flirting fantasy aroused. Oh, my goodness. Brilliant. And Laurent is totally correct. You do not repeat yourself. I love it. There is a different slant, different words, different concept every time. And it's wonderful. So thank you for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome.
And thank
I'm
you.
Sure the hummingbird will be over there.
Doesn't have to close her window. Yeah. She's got to pull you in.
Yeah. Watch out for the peak there, Katie. Just don't let her get too far.
And Dexter, I would love to know what you think.
Steaming hot poem, Frank. Very well done. I thought that you captured this, and I enjoyed the hummingbird part. Small beak and all, you know, but it is, no, I'm just kidding. No, this is a fantastic, right? I'm joking. I'm not going to go down that road. I'm joking with you. No, I thought that this was a fantastic piece, dude. And sensual blaze of deep desires, nocturnal feet. This is really just such a, talking about exotic temptation. You hit the nail on the head. Well done, Frank, as always.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's all good.
Women
all
always
fun,
hope that you hit the nail on the head, Dexter.
Well, there you go. All right, we can go over to the next one. I know that this
our next one, Miss Katie. Does Dexter have his up there?
I didn't realize the time. It's what? I thought we had loads more time.
No, we can read Bill's. No, we can read Bill's. I've read this one a few times. We can read Bill's.
Are you sure, my dear? Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
Thank you, Dexter.
I hadn't realized the time. My apologies. Sorry. So you're having
so much fun.
Yeah. So next one we have Mystical Mistress by Bill Borden and Arcana, my dear. Would you read this for us, please?
It would be my absolute pleasure.
Thank you, darling.
Mystical Mistress by Bill Borden. Come thee forth from the flames, thy mystical mistress that seduction names. From thy voice the spell is cast, dark powers thy mistress will amass. Herd the sheep like moth to flame, break the chant and speak my name. As above and so below, this my chant forespell to grow. Hear my words upon whisper's breath, grant thee power or name thee death. Legion voice from single soul, pull thy potion from cauldron to bowl. Earth, air, fire and rain, follow the breath that speaks thy name. You have no want nor cry no tear. You have no reason to feel no fear, for now you're under my spell, my dear. End poem.
Oh, you read that beautifully. And Bill, I'm telling you, your rhyme is sublime, and you could put any woman under spell with your poetry. Let's get you some comments. Frank, what did you think?
Well, I thought as well, it was a great read there by Arcana. I thought the poem really was great in the rhymes, and I liked the whole notion of a mistress there, mystical. I felt the mysticism throughout the poem. I really like this tone of creativity used in the poem here, and it had more of a Shakespearean feeling to it as well. So I thought overall the poem was good, and he did a fantastic job in the poem, and the read was just as good.
Thank you, Frank. Wonderful comment. Our next poet to comment is Gray Eye.
Yeah, that was a fantastic read, and I really enjoyed the poem as well. The title is beautiful, and come to me, come thee forth from the flames, thy mystical mistress that seduces, seduction names. From thy voice the spell is cast, thy dark powers of the mistress, thy mistress will amass. Herd the sheep like moth to the flame, break the chant and speak my name. Just beautiful. Amazing imagery and fantastic rhyme scheme. So well done. And you've got
wonderful comments. Great. Okay, Laurent, I would love to know what you think. Are you still with us, Laurent? Okay, Arcana, what did you think?
Well, I had the privilege of having this piece on our show the other night, and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Brilliantly written, brilliantly rhymed. The whole piece is like weaving a spell over the reader, the way that it's worded. I just think that Bill is a fabulously talented poet, and I really look forward to seeing more from him, because what I've seen so far, I've got to say, is really impressive. So excellent piece, Bill. Very well done. Loved it. And I really enjoyed being given the privilege to read it as well. Thank you for that.
Thank you. And you did a wonderful job in reading his poem. I want to thank Katie and Gray Eyes and Irish Rose. I'm sorry you got dropped. Laurent, Arcana, Dexter, Miriam, and Frank for calling in. And those who hung out in the group, Luke, Bill, Hope, Silent Tree. I'm sorry we didn't get to all the poems, but at the beginning of next week, I will put the unread poems at the beginning of the show, and then we'll run a little bit late into the next show. I love you guys. Thank you, Phil. And
welcome
thank you
back.
For calling in, Arcana. I had so much fun, especially
my
with
pleasure.
You and Frank and Laurent. I love
you
guys. Thank you, Katie.
Buenas noches.
And Gray Eyes.
Buenas noches. Take care, everyone.
Well,
good night, everybody.
Good
night. Much love.
Good night, everybody.
Everybody.
Love you guys.
Have
Adios.
A great
evening. Adios.
And goodbye.
Take care, baby.
You
care.
Too, my dear. You too.
It's always good to hear from you.